tells us in Mark chapter number 2 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, and take up thy bed, and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And notice here with me in verse number 12, And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. I want to draw your attention to verse number 12 tonight, and notice the phrase that you find at the end of the verse. The Bible says here, We never saw it on this fashion. I want to give to you a message tonight on this thought, on seeing things that you've never seen before. Think about that, seeing things that you've never seen before. As you consider the recent events of our Lord leading up to Mark chapter number 2, you'll come to understand why the disciples said that they've never seen anything that they've saw before. If you look with me back in chapter number 1, and notice what the Bible tells us here in chapter number 1 and verse number 25, we see that Jesus is speaking to this man who was demon-possessed. And notice that the Bible tells us there, And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. So notice here in verse number 26 that we see that there was a demon that was cast out of a man. Look with me over in verse number 31. And we'll see Simon's wife's mother was healed of a fever. Notice that in verse 31. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. So we see here that he had just healed one with a fever. Look down with me in verse number 34. And he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. Notice there in verse number 34 that the Lord Jesus, he healed those with different diseases, and he cast out even more devils. Go with me down to verse number 39. And the Bible says, And he preached in their synagogue throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils. So here it is again, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's performing many miracles and he's casting out devils. Notice with me here in verse number 41, we see that Jesus met a man who was a leper. And in verse number 41, the Bible says, And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. Now as we go into chapter number 2, you'll see that this palsy man was healed. So as we consider these things, we can see why the disciples said that they have never seen anything like this before. I don't know about you, but in our world today, in my lifetime, I have never seen anything like this that I've seen before. This coronavirus pandemic, many of us have not seen anything like this. This worldwide health crisis that we have going on right now is going on day and night all over the world. And we see people are scared, people are worried, many people are living in fear. They don't know where to turn, they don't know what to do. And my friend, this is the perfect opportunity for us as Christians to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And could you imagine what God could do if all of us during this time, in this hour of human history, if we all came together and got the gospel of Jesus Christ out, you know what I believe? That we would all be saying, man, we've never seen it like this before. As we think about that, we could see God do great things in our lives and in our church like we've never seen before. Many talk of what has been, and that's good, but I want you to know I'm concerned about what God is going to do. I don't want to spend my life looking back. I want to spend my life looking forward and looking ahead to the great things that God wants to do for us as His children. I begin to think about this question tonight. What will it take for us as a church for us to say that we've seen God do a work that only He can do? I believe as we look into this passage of Scripture, there are five things that have to be there. If we as a church and a body of Christ, if we want to see our Lord do such a work that we stand back and say, man, I've never seen it like that before. Notice with me five things here in this passage of Scripture, and we'll be done. Notice with me here in verse number 1. Notice the Bible says, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house." Notice that at the end of verse number 1, the Bible says, "It was noised that he was in the house." The very first thing that we need, if we're going to see God do things like we've never seen Him do before, we must have the presence of Jesus Christ. Notice that with me in verse number 1, that it was noised that He was in the house. I tell you what, my friend, the thing that we need most is we need Jesus Christ. We need His presence to be with us each and every time that we meet together. And even tonight, although that we are unable to come together as a body of Christ and worship the Lord together, I tell you what, the Holy Spirit is still in our midst, and He can still minister to our hearts when we come together as the children of God. So we see here the Bible says it was noise that He was in the house. This is the very thing that we need most in our churches, is the presence of God. I wonder how many times that you have prayed before you came to church and you said, God, fill our church with Your presence. You know, I'm afraid so many times we come to church and we're not expecting God to speak to us. We're not expecting the Lord to do anything. We're limiting the mighty power of God. My friend, I tell you what, may we have that desire for the presence of Christ to abide in our church whenever we come to His house. I tell you what, that's one thing we need to understand too, is we must never take it for granted. Never take it for granted that the Holy Spirit ministers to us and that His presence is real. There are many churches today, they're dead and they're dry up and they have no vision and they have no purpose. And my friend, it's cold. Aren't you glad that you can come to Sharon Baptist Church and to Diamond Springs Baptist Church and be able to sense the presence of Almighty God? I tell you what, don't ever take it for granted. We see here in verse number 1 that the Bible says it was noised. Think about that. It was noised. And in other words, people had to go around the city and they had to go around from place to place telling people that Jesus Christ was in the house. You know, I wonder when was the last time we shared with someone openly when God spoke to our heart at church? When was the last time we went to the neighbor across the street, or when we went to a coworker and we said, let me tell you how God spoke to my heart in church. Let me tell you how strong the Spirit of the Lord is in our church. When was the last time that we went out and said that to someone? Oh, I tell you what, we are guilty too much of spreading gossip than we are the gospel. And my friend, as if we're going to see God do such a work that we've never seen anything like it before, it's got to start with the presence of Almighty God. I tell you what, we need the Lord tonight. I need the Lord. You need the Lord. And in this hour in which we live, we all need the Lord. So we see here tonight, we see the presence of Christ. If we want to see God do such a great work that we've never seen it before. But secondly, I want you to see this. I want you to see the preaching of God's Word. Notice with me in verse number 2. The Bible says, "And straightway many were gathered together." Hey, by the way, whenever the presence of Christ is in a church, You don't have to worry about trying to bring people in. A Christian will automatically want to go where the presence of God is. And when they go into the church and they sense the presence of God, I'm telling you what, they will sit and they will feel right at home, and you can accomplish something together. But we see here the Bible says that many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. I don't know about you, but our church has empty pews during our service times. And I don't like it, and I don't want it. I wish that they were full. But I tell you what, it's up for us to go out there and to get them and to tell them about the presence of Christ and what He can do for them and in their life. And buddy, we can bring them in. But notice here, once they came together, notice what the Bible says that Jesus Christ did. At the end of verse number 2, He said this, and He preached the word unto them. Notice that, He preached the word unto them. I tell you what, we need the preaching of God's word. I want you to know tonight that nobody can preach like Jesus Christ. The power in which He preached, with the compassion in which He had, the boldness in which He spoke. My friend, I tell you what, no one can preach like Jesus Christ. Could you imagine hearing the voice of our God preaching the Word of God? I don't know about you, but I enjoy hearing some good preaching. And it stirs my heart and it gets me excited. And it even makes me want to preach. When I hear good preaching, it makes me want to preach as well. But I tell you what, could you imagine hearing Jesus Christ preaching? Oh, I tell you what, just think, one of these days we will. And I'm looking forward to that. But notice here in verse number 2, the Bible says, He preached the word unto them. I tell you what, we need the preaching of God's word going forth from our pulpits today. Whenever people come into our congregation, they don't need to hear our ideas, they don't need to hear our thoughts, they don't need to hear our opinions. They need to hear, thus saith the Lord. They need to hear a message from the Word of God. I'm going to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and read a few verses of Scripture to you here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. As you consider with me, we need the preaching of God's Word to see the Lord do a work like we've never seen before. Notice with me here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 18. The Bible says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved," notice here, "it is the power of God." In my Bible, I have the preaching of the cross circled, and I have the power of God circled, and I have a line connecting the two. Why? Because the power of God is found in the preaching of the cross. The power of God is found in the preaching of the Word of God. Look down with me in verse number 21. Notice the Bible says here, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God." Now notice this phrase here in verse number 21. We see with preaching comes power. But notice here, this is something that's very important. Is I want you to see that our preaching must please God. Notice here in verse number 21. "It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." I tell you what, today people need to hear the message from God. My friend, that is where the power is, and they need to hear a message that's going to be pleasing unto the Lord, that exalts Jesus Christ, that'll edify the believers. That's the kind of message that we need to hear. There's a lot of people today who are just telling you what you want to hear, and they'll tell you things to make you feel good and that kind of thing. I tell you what, my friend, we need the preaching of the Word of God preached to us and preached to our heart so we can grow in our Christian life. You know, that's why the Bible says, "So faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the Word of God." My friend, it's the preaching of the Word of God that's going to help you grow in your Christian life. And I tell you what, the more you come to love preaching, the more that you'll see God working in your heart and in your life. You know how my life was changed? My life was changed through the preaching of the Word of God. I thank the Lord that I had a pastor who faithfully preached the Word of God. And sometimes I didn't like it. And sometimes I was under conviction, but I didn't get out. I got right, and I got my heart right with the Lord. And I started loving the preaching. And when I would hear preaching and my pastor preaching, I'd say, "Preach, preach, let me hear it." And my friend, I tell you what, that's what we need to hear today. It's the preaching of God's Word. So as you turn back with me to Mark chapter number 2, if we're going to see God do such a great work that we've never seen anything like it before, we have to have the presence of Christ. We have to have the preaching of the Word of God to go forth. Thirdly, I want you to see that we have to have passion. Notice here with me the passion of the four. The passion of the four. Look in verse number 3. The Bible says, "And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh to him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was." You see that? They uncovered the roof where Jesus Christ was. And then notice that in verse number 4. "And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay." Notice what the Bible says in verse 5. "When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." As we read here verses 3 through verse number 5, you know what we see? We see the passion of the four. The passion of these four to get their friend to Jesus Christ. I tell you what, do we have that passion today to tell others about Jesus Christ? We see here that this word passion is the idea of what you love and what you live for. Think about that. A passion. A passion is what you love and what you live for. Yesterday, are you passionate about God? Are you passionate about your relationship with God? Are you passionate about the local church? My friend, we see these men here that had a friend that was sick of the palsy. My friend, they had a passion and they wanted to get their friend to Jesus Christ. They knew that Jesus Christ could heal this man, and they went to extreme measures to get their friend to Jesus Christ. They go to the door and they can't get in. If it had been most Christians today, they would have went home and said, "Well, we can't get you there today. Maybe we'll come back again another time." But my friend, they had a passion for God. They had a passion to get their friend to Jesus Christ, that they go up on top of the roof and they open up the roof and they lay their friend down right before where Jesus Christ was standing. You know what that takes? That takes passion. That takes dedication. That takes commitment. And my friend, that is what we need in our life, is a passion for God. Oh, I tell you what, they went to extreme measures today. You know, the sad thing is it takes very little for many Christians today not to go to church. It's almost like they look for a reason not to go to church. I tell you what, you know what's missing in their life? This passion for Almighty God. I tell you what, we need to get to the point in our lives to where we're willing to do anything and everything to get to church and to be able to get our friends to Jesus Christ, just like these four were that had their friend who was sick of the palsy. Think about that. We never saw it on this fashion before. Do you want to see God do such a work like you've never seen before? My friend, you have to have a passion and a hunger and a thirst for Jesus Christ. Notice here another thing that we see. Let's read together verses 6 through verse number 11. The Bible says, "But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts." I want you to know, my friend, you can guarantee that when God is working and people are passionate about God, then there will be those who do not like it. There will be those who will try to mess everything up and try to divert your attention away from this passion that you have for God. But notice here in verse number 7, they are reasoning in their hearts.
Why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? You know, the problem is they didn't recognize that Jesus Christ was God. Notice in verse number 8, and immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reason within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? But notice here in verse number 10, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. As I read verse 6 down through verse number 11, I think about this. If we're going to see God do such a great work like we've never seen before, you know what it has to be? It has to be through the power of God alone. Think about that. The power of God alone. Not human intellect, not human ability, not by any human measure. But my friend, if we want to see God do the work that only He can do, we have to trust God alone for Him to do the work. You see, these men knew that they could not heal this man. They no doubt tried everything that they could to help this man out, and they could do nothing. And my friend, we can do nothing on our own. But they knew that if they got their friend to Jesus Christ, that He was the one who could heal them. And guess what? That's what happened. My friend, we have to understand that we have to have the power of God alone. We need only what God Himself can do. I tell you what, if man builds it, if man brings it together, if man is the one who brings it up, then guess what? It's going to fall down. But whenever Jesus Christ, whenever God Himself starts to work and He builds the work, you know what? That work is going to last. That's why it's so important that we understand that it is through the power of God alone that we can see Him do things that we've never seen before. I like what he went on to tell them in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. You don't have to read there. But in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 and verse number 1, he told them, he said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. You know what Paul is saying? I'm not a good orator. I'm not a good public speaker. But notice what he did say. But in demonstration of the Spirit and power. That's the kind of preaching that we need today. We need the Spirit-filled preaching of a man of God to preach the Word of God to people. But notice here why. We see that in verse number 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. There are so many people today that their faith is in a man. They put their confidence in a man. And I tell you what, Christian, your faith cannot be put into a man. Man will fall, man will let you down, but our God will never, ever fail you. And that's why your faith must be in the power of God. Think about this, the power of God alone. And then lastly, I want you to see one other truth with me here in this passage of Scripture. We see that in verse number 12. I want you to see, if we're going to see God do a work like He's never done before, it's going to take the praise of God's people. Think about that, the praise of God's people. Notice with me in verse number 12. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all. You know what? He was ready to tell the world what just happened to him. This man had been sick of the palsy for a long time. And now the Lord Jesus has healed him. And now he's ready to tell the world what Jesus Christ has done for him. When was the last time that you told somebody what Jesus Christ has done for you?
Oh, I'll tell you what, God wants us to praise him tonight. Notice here the Bible says he went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God. Every one of them in that house, they were amazed and they glorified God. You know what I think? As they were looking at this man, they thought, that's God. Only God could heal a man, and only God can forgive and cleanse a man of his sin. Only God. I don't know about you, but I want to see what only God can do. I want to be able to see God do a work in Diamond Springs Baptist Church, and I want to hear of the work that God is doing at Sharon Baptist Church, and for people to say, that's God. That's God. It's not a man, it's not anyone else, but it's all about God. You know what? God inhabits the praises of his people. God wants us to praise him. And my friend, don't let people rob you of you praising the Lord for who he is and what he's done for you. Notice here the Bible says that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Nothing that they've ever seen before could equate to what they had just witnessed right before their eyes. And my friend, I tell you what, God wants to do great things here. You know, you have plans in the future to build a building back over here to the middle of the property. And as I was talking to Pastor Dave, he was sharing with me a vision of the Lord going on the other side of the property. You know what, Pastor Dave, he has a vision from God. And he wants to see that vision brought out right before your eyes. You know what it's going to take? It's going to take you getting behind him. You praying for him and asking God to lead him and to guide him as far as what he wants this church to do. And it's the same way at Diamond Springs. I trust my people are praying and they're seeking the Lord and they're asking God to lead me as their pastor to take them forward in the days ahead. My friend, I want you to know God is always advancing. God is always moving forward in our lives. And my friend, I tell you what, God wants to do such a work in our lives. God wants to do such a work in our families. God wants to do such a work in our church that we say, we've never seen it like this before. As we think about this passage of Scripture, and we think about God doing things that we've never seen him do before, we must have the presence of Christ. We must have the preaching of God's Word. We must have a passion for God. We must have the power of God alone. And we must have the praise of God's people. Why don't we all come together and let's just praise the Lord. And let's just thank him for what he's done for us. Thank him for the means that we have to be able to bring this live stream service tonight to you. Thank God for that. Thank God for this coronavirus that we see going on in our world today. And someone will say, how can we thank God for a coronavirus? Well, my friend, I tell you what, God may be using this to get people's attention. Just like he did in September of 2001, when the terrorists flew their planes into our government buildings. You know what? God was using that for people to get right with him. Could it be that God is using this coronavirus for people to wake up and for them to see their need of him? And my friend, it's up to us as Christians to get the gospel out to this lost and dying world. Would you pray with me, please? Our Father, we do love you. And we thank